Greetings, friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In our previous programs, we were talking about fasting and how fasting demonstrates the love of God. Of course, when you fast, which means going without food and water for a period of time, you are denying yourself. And by denying yourself this food and water, you are actually dying to yourself symbolically. That means that you are giving up your life in sacrifice. Didn't Jesus Christ say that no greater love has a man than this, that he lay down his life for another person? That's what fasting teaches us, is that we are laying down our lives in order to give to others. That which we don't have, food and drink, we give to others. That which we don't have, strength and power, we give to others by serving others. So fasting demonstrates the love of God. Also, fasting demonstrates the power of God. Now, how does fasting demonstrate the power of God? Well, there's a very interesting example found in the book of Matthew, chapter 17, and we'll read in verses 14 through 21. Listen to this. When Jesus and his disciples encountered a certain multitude, a certain man asked the Lord to have mercy on his son, saying, "Lord, my son is a lunatic and sore vexed. He often falls into the fire and into water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil departed out of him. Do you catch that part? Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil was cast out. It had to leave this person. That's very significant. It says that the child was cured from that very hour. So then the disciples came to Jesus privately, asking him, "Master, why couldn't we cast him out?" And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. If you have faith, nothing shall be impossible for you. However, this kind can't be cast out except through prayer and fasting." Jesus is saying that an angelic spirit, as powerful as a devil, cannot be cast out of a person except through prayer and fasting. Through prayer and fasting, we are eliminating ourselves, and we are totally allowing the power of God to live through us. It's no longer by our human strength. Fasting teaches us that we have no strength, that everything, all of our power comes from God. When we have that kind of focus and we place our faith in that kind of power, then this kind of powerful demon and devil even can be cast out of a person. This is how fasting demonstrates the power of God. And did you know that Satan will be cast out of the world and bound in the bottomless pit on the Day of Atonement? The Day of Atonement is a day on which we fast. And this Day of Atonement pictures the time when Satan will be cast out of the world. So just like Satan was cast out of this boy through prayer and fasting, Satan will be cast out of the world on the Day of Atonement, a fast day. Let's look at the type of this in Leviticus chapter 16, and we'll start reading in verse 2. This tells us a type of what's going to happen in the future. In verse 2 it says, "The Lord said to Moses, 'Speak to Aaron, warning him not to come into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, except for when I call for him, which is on the Day of Atonement, or else he will die. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat.'" And the only time God would allow this is on the Day of Atonement. This is once per year. Continuing in verse 7 through 10. "And Aaron shall take two goats." Who do these two goats represent? Let's continue in the scripture to let the scripture teach us. "Aaron shall take two goats and present them before the Lord. He shall cast lots upon the two goats. One lot for the Lord." That's our first answer. These two goats represent two different beings. The first being is the Lord. "And the other lot shall be for the scapegoat." The scapegoat is none other than Satan the devil, the arch enemy of the Lord. "And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord. the Lord's, Lot fell upon one goat, and that goat was slain for the sin offering. But the other lot fell upon the scapegoat, and that scapegoat was presented alive. Opposite, one died, one remains alive. Now it says about the one that is alive that atonement shall be made with him. But it's not the same kind of atonement that is made with the one that died. It's a different kind of atonement, which we'll read about in a few seconds. And let him go, this live goat, for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Now in verses 15 through 16, then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering. This is the one that represents the Lord. You shall kill the goat of the sin offering, and this is how atonement is made through the death of this goat. You shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat. And he shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. That's how this one goat that died was able to make atonement. It was through its blood, through the shedding of its blood. Notice what it says, though, about the live goat, how atonement is made through the live goat. It's not through the shedding of blood. We'll find this in verses 20 through 22. When Aaron has made an end of reconciling the holy place and the congregation through the blood of the slain goat, then he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the sins of the children of Israel, putting them upon the head of the goat. That's how this goat was used to make atonement, not through its shed blood and the wiping away of the sins, but it's through taking this live goat and placing the sins of the people on the head and on the back, if I may say, of this goat, where the sins belong. In other words, this goat is responsible for the sins, so it is put on its head squarely where it belongs. After you put them upon the head of the goat, you shall send the goat away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and that goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. So that is the type, and this happened on the Day of Atonement. Now let's see the fulfillment of it. The fulfillment of it is in Revelation chapter 20, and we'll read verses 1 through 6. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Again, this particular angel here, we don't know who it is. It could have been Michael, the archangel. Could be Jesus Christ. Angel means a messenger from God. It could be referring to Jesus Christ. But we know that an angel came down from heaven, and this had to be a powerful angel because it took hold of that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years by putting a great chain on him and putting him in the bottomless pit. As we hearken back to the type, that is where this live goat was sent away by a fit man into the wilderness. It was bound and sent away by a strong man, representative of this angel here, and it was sent away in the wilderness. We have the bottomless pit, which is a type of the wilderness. So we see very clearly the fulfillment of the type that we saw in the Day of Atonement in the book of Leviticus. Here we have the fulfillment of that in Revelation chapter 20. And it says that this devil, Satan, is bound 1,000 years, and he was cast into the bottomless pit, and he was shut up, and a seal was set upon him. Why? So that he would not deceive the nations any more. Remember that with the goat, the live goat that was sent into the wilderness, it took upon itself the sins of the other people. It had the sins of the people put upon it. This is the same type of picture we see here, because that goat represented the introduction of sin. So by sending it away into the wilderness, it represents the removal of sin, the removal of deception, the removal of the one that introduced sin, the removal of the one that's responsible for sin. And here it shows that in the book of Revelation, when the devil is bound for 1,000 years, it is done specifically so that he cannot deceive the nations anymore. You remember what Jesus said to people who called him a bastard when they said that he was born without a father and that they were born of Abraham. Jesus turned to them and said, straight in their face, he said, listen, you are of your father the devil. He is the father of lies. He is a murderer from the beginning. Satan is the one that's responsible for introducing sin. He's a deceiver from the beginning. So here in Revelation, we see that Satan is bound, cast into the bottomless pit, shut up so that he cannot deceive the nations anymore for 1,000 years. And the time frame for this, just so that there's no misunderstanding, is definitely after Jesus Christ returns to this earth to establish the second, to establish the kingdom of God at his second coming. Let's continue on in Revelation chapter 20 to prove this. It says that, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. These are they which had not worshipped the beast, neither received his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. Now notice this next part. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. My friends, as we said in previous programs, the Feast of Trumpets, which is the fourth of God's 7 annual holy days, pictures the time when Jesus Christ is coronated as the King of Kings. It pictures the time when the saints will be resurrected and come back and rule with Jesus Christ. And now we have the Day of Atonement, which follows the Feast of Trumpets, because the Day of Atonement is the fifth out of God's 7 annual holy days. And on this Day of Atonement, we have pictured as one of the first orders of business, Jesus Christ, the new King of Kings and Lord of Lords, deposing of Satan the devil. He is casting Satan the devil out of the world, casting him into the bottomless pit, shutting him up so that he can't deceive the nations anymore for 1,000 years. It's an unobstructed rulership of Jesus Christ. My friends, there are so many, many wonderful lessons that we can understand from knowing and observing God's holy days. And today, what we've been talking about is how fasting demonstrates the power of God. In this particular case, it demonstrates the power of God to destroy Satan and sin and even the self. Because as we fast, we get rid of the self. The self dies. And then the power of God lives through us. And it is through the power of God that sin can be totally eradicated. It can be put back on the head of Satan the devil, the one responsible for it. And even Satan the devil will be cast out of the world, cast into the bottomless pit to deceive the nations no more. The Day of Atonement and fasting demonstrates the power of God.